We're going to read a lot from the book of Galatians in chapter 5, so if you want to turn your Bibles to that, we'll get to that in a minute. We have been spending some time talking about the Holy Spirit. This is about the fourth week we've been kind of focusing on the Holy Spirit and this wonderful gift that we have of the Holy Spirit. And as followers of Christ, what a great privilege it is to have that presence of God with us. And one of the things that we learned, and I've said this over and over again, I think it just really stands out for me, is this truth that Jesus told his disciples, it's better for me to go so that that Holy Spirit could come. And he did that, and he's going to come in the person, the Holy Spirit, to those who trust. And I've been thinking through this a lot personally, and I want to constantly work at gripping that truth. This truth that God is with me in reality, He is here. And I want to constantly know His presence in my life. And then I need to acknowledge that and then correctly express that. When His presence is known in my life, I need to do a better job at expressing that. And I want that for all of us as well, that we continue to know of this truth of the Holy Spirit, to know of it here, but then more importantly, to know Him in your lives personally as well. And then we talked the last couple weeks about the strength that we are given through the Spirit, and that He is the person that leads our path, that leads our Christian walk. So that's kind of a real quick review of what we sort of talked about the last few weeks. And one of the things to notice is there's this pattern, and we all have these questions about how I can connect more deeply with the Holy Spirit. And we get concerned about what is it that we do? What is our role in this? What's our responsibility so that we are in better communion with the Holy Spirit? And we do have strength that's given to us from the Holy Spirit, as well as being led by His guidance. How do we do that? And the pattern that we found out, and it's kind of a nice one, is that the hard stuff's done. The work has been done by the Holy Spirit. His presence is here. And it's this notion that we need to submit to that. We need to let go, and we need to abide, and we need to stay in His presence. And that's when the work of the Spirit takes place, and He will work through us then. So this week, a very familiar passage we're going to talk about. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. And it comes from Galatians 5 and verse 22. And Paul is telling his people here in Galatia that the fruit of the Spirit, and he lists 9 of them here: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. And that's a very, very common, very popular verse that we have here. Fruits of the Spirit. Different than, and I want to distinguish this a little bit, it's different than the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a gift, singular. And this comes from the book of Acts. And Peter says, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is that gift? The gift that He's here. The gift that He's here. And He's here. Different from the fruit. We'll get to that in just a minute. It is different also than the gifts, plural, of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians. And this, the gifts of the Spirit, are these tools that we are given to do church stuff, to build up this body, the gifts of the Spirit. And these are familiar to you as well. He says they're different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And then he starts to list these. To one, there's given the gift of wisdom, and then there's knowledge, and there's faith, and there's miraculous powers, and healing, and prophecy, and so on. Those are tools that the Holy Spirit gives each of us to do this stuff, this body-building stuff that we have called Pleasant Chapel United Methodist Church. We're given these gifts. So we have the gift of the Spirit. We have the gift of the Spirit. But today we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And they are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. I want to back up a little bit to give the context of that passage. That verse is probably one that you've memorized through the years because it is such a popular verse. But let's back up and talk a little bit about why Paul is even talking to the people about this. And so if we go back to the first part of chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." Well, what's going on here is these people are being influenced by the religious leaders of the area. And they are trying to get these Christians to do some stuff. They're trying to get them to be real ruling, to follow some guidelines. If you're going to be one of this group, you need to do this and this and this, especially in regards to circumcision. And they're trying to impose all of these extra rules. And Paul didn't want any part of that. He says it's not about the law, but it's about this freedom that we have in Christ. And I think that tendency is still popular. We still want to do this. We still within our faith. We want to get this list of things to do. We want to make it this list of rules. And I think this is similar to what Paul was facing here. That we want to put these things in here. You know, we've all got these things that, you know, don't cuss and don't drink and smoke and, you know, we don't dance and we don't go to movies. And, you know, last week I told you the one about don't cuss or chew or date girls that do. You know, that was, you know, all these rules, you know, it becomes a problem here. And I think that was the problem Paul was facing. But I think we could go the other way too. And I think this is sort of a popular trend that we're seeing in our churches today. That, you know, you hear this phrase, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Have you ever heard that one before? It's not a religion, it's a relationship. And, you know, I understand what they're trying to do there. I think what they're saying is, you know, it's not all about these regulations and all these do's and do nots and all these things here. It is about this relationship that we have. I think, though, that the comparison they're making with that statement is just a little bit too trite. And I think that there's some danger in that because I don't think it's either or. I think it is about religion. I think religion, this set of values and the way we practice and the things we do and the things we say are true, that is part of our religion and that is an important part of what we do. But fundamentally, it is about the relationship that we have in Christ through the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, there's this balance thing that we have to do here. But in this instance, Paul's struggling with the people that are wanting to know what to do. These leaders are telling us to do this. What should we do? It goes on, if you jump down to verse 13, and he says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So you have these freedom, but don't use this as some tool that you can go out and sin. Don't use this freedom you have to go out and do this wrong. And he starts to contrast this battle that we have going on. We touched a little bit on this last week. He says, "Live by the Spirit," in verse 16. "I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law." And we talked last week about this bent that we have. This, you know, I think I used the analogy of my Maverick that was out of a line, you know, and I drive this car and I'm going down the road and if I let it go, it just wants to head. It just wants to go this direction. And that's us. That is part of this, Paul calls it the flesh of us, that if we are left alone, we're going to mess up. And we're gonna succumb to forces that's gonna pull us in the wrong direction. That is one of the tendencies that we have. We have an alignment problem. And he says here, this is what that flesh does. The works of the flesh are these kinds of things. They're obvious, he says. And he lists them: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I'm warning you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's that bent that we have. And, you know, I don't think it takes us long that if you would take the list of those things that he has down there, and especially where it says, and things like these, and you list all those, and think of the problems that we have in our culture today. This was written 2,000 years ago. And think of the problems that we are having today. Kind of the same stuff. They all kind of fall back to one of those categories that we have there. It's self-centered. It's about fulfilling desires. It's about carnal. It's temporal kinds of things that we have here. No different 2,000 years ago that he's saying. Those are the works of the flesh. And that is pulling us off this alignment that we are supposed to be on. He says, but instead of the works of the flesh, he contrasts this again now with the fruits of the Spirit, which he said, opposite of those things. Opposite of those is something different. It's not the works of the flesh. It's the Spirit. And he has listed those nine as love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And that's what's supposed to be. That is the path that we're to be on. There is to be this new bent about us. There is to be this realignment that changes our steering wheel. And there's going to be this product of a new direction that we're on. And it's these fruits that he says that they're good fruit, and it comes from our lives. That statement, though, I think, to me, as I read through this and think through this, I think one of the most important words in that verse is a little short one, and it's of. These are fruits of the Spirit. The fruit comes from the Spirit. It's not of us. This isn't something we can go get. We can't say, you know, I look down through the list, love and joy, I'm pretty good there. Patience, I better go work on patience. You know, I'm going to go work on this because I've got to get it because it's a fruit of the Spirit. No, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It isn't something that I can go get or work at or try to attain. It is given to us from the Spirit. And again, I think that follows the same pattern that we've been talking about here. The work is already done. The Spirit is here. He's going to produce this fruit in us. Our job is this abiding thing. It's our job to stay in communion with Him. It's our job to walk in the Spirit, to abide in Christ. And I think that too is how fruit is going to be produced in our life. When we acknowledge that, when we recognize it's not going to be our work, it's going to be His work through our lives. And, you know, we just simply can't do it on our own. Jesus talked about this as well, and he used this idea of fruit in John chapter 15. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, he can do nothing. So apart from him, I cannot bear the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and good. I can't do that. I've got to stay connected to him. And when I'm connected to him, then that fruit will be produced. He's doing the work. I am supposed to be in communion with the Spirit. And we talked about how that's done last week. You know, we talked about it's so important for us to stay in his word. That is how he's communicating with us, using scripture. We have this wonderful Bible preserved through all these years, and that's how we hear his voice. We hear him in prayer. We hear him in just taking the time to submit and surrender. And I chose that hymn there, that hymn, I Surrender All. You know, I like that hymn, but I think I've teased you before on this. When we sing that hymn, I think I make you all liars. Right? Yeah, you know, when we sing the chorus, you know, I surrender all, and then there's something in the middle there. You know, the part I'm always singing, I surrender all, no, I really don't. I surrender all, no, I really don't. Because I don't. You know, it's something to work for sure. You know, we do want to work towards surrendering all, but boy, when you take time and really analyze yourself, I always find stuff that I haven't right given up yet. I haven't really surrendered all. I won't surrender all until I'm there. You know, it's this ongoing process of becoming. I get that. But, you know, when we sing, I surrender all, that's what we're after. We are about giving up. We are about surrendering. And that's getting us in that submissive position where God can work. The work is done. It's done. But I need to submit to that. And I need to hear His voice through prayer, through quiet time, through Scripture, through fellowship with y'all. This is a part of it. Being in communion with you guys is part of the Spirit of God working and getting me in position for Him to move in my life and in yours. And when He does, then we need to obey. And you know, I think as I look through this, and again, this is personal for me, but I think I'm at my best when there's just real honesty there. There's honesty about, you know, I need to be honest when I say, do I really surrender all? You know, I don't. There's honesty there, and I'm trying in my prayers to be honest as well. Lord, I just fall so short, and just ask Him to reveal. If you think you're doing wrong, reveal to me the things that I'm short on. He'll show you. And I think it's so good at that point to just give it over. You know, I was cruel to this person, and I said this about that person when I was driving down the road. I had this thought, and when I'm honest about that, again, that's in this position of where I need to be. I give that to Him, and I admit that I can't do this on my own. It seems there that I feel Him working in my life, because I think that's just where it needs to be. It's easy, honest. There's an honesty there. There's a genuineness there. Because if not, you're going to be a bowl of that stuff my mom would have on her table. It was wax fruit. You know, it was fake. You know, back in the 60s, they put wax fruit out there. I don't know why they did that. It looked great. Nothing to it. You know, I wanted to eat that grape, but you can't. There was no substance. It was just fake. Get me? The fruit needs to be real, and I can fake fruit, but there's nothing fully attractive about that. And it's so important to stay honest and genuine about that. I think, so when I look at this and consider this, okay, if it's not something I can work towards, but these are the fruits of the Spirit, then well, what do I do with them? Well, to me, I think those fruits of the Spirit, when they become evidenced in your life, I think that's a great thing as sort of an assessment piece to kind of see where you're at in your relationship. Let me give you an example of this. This is not the best example, but coming up into retirement, and the last of the teachers were here this week, and you know, when you retire, it's like you died. You know, they come and they say all these nice things. You know, it's like, I'm not dying, you know, but they're saying all these nice things. And a couple of the things that were said to me, and they were done in humor, they said that I tend to view the world through rose-colored glasses, you know, and somebody else called me Pollyanna, and I had to look up Pollyanna. You know, that means that, you know, you have this optimism and this hope about you. And you know, I look back on that, and they were through humor, they were paying me a compliment, and I think what they were recognizing is they sense a joy about me, and they sense some hope that's there. Now, I'm not saying these things to build myself up at all, because I can't, because I stink. There's so many other things that just bleh. But to hear that, it was neat, because I now look at that and I acknowledge fruit. I acknowledge that people were sensing a joy in my life. Build up Joel and say, yay, Joel? No, not at all. Because it's not the fruit of Joel, is it? It's the fruit of the Spirit. And so when somebody recognizes something in me that is a positive thing, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's working in my life. And it's becoming evidence through fruit. And so I need to acknowledge that and praise Him for that, that He's changing me. He's taken old, lousy Joel, and He's turning him into the Joel that He wants him to be. Long way to go. Long, long way to go. But that, I think, is one of the things that we can use with these fruits. We can see evidence that the Spirit is working in our lives. And then we stop and acknowledge and praise Him for that. So take just a minute here. I got a little slide here that shows... I'm still got a math guy in me here a little bit, but you know, consider this. You know, do just a little self-analysis here. I got, you know, if you look at the bottom there, it's time, and then I've got all the fruits of the Spirit that are listed up there. And I tend to think that over time, if you would assess yourself and think about, you know, regarding love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, if I would look back on my life then, and I look at my life now, Would you see that there's an increase in those fruits? Would you see that you're having more and more of those come? You know, do you find yourself that you're loving more? Do you have a deeper sense of joy and peace in your life now? What would others say in regards to your level of patience and kindness and your overall goodness? What would people say? And do you feel like you're becoming more faithful? Or is the nature of you more of a gentle person? Are you in control of the flesh parts of your life? You know, where are you at with that? Assess that. Are you growing? And I think that's a good thing for us to look at once in a while. And I think you'll say, yeah, I am. And again, your work, fruits of the Spirit. He's working in your lives. You know, I'm still kind of an outsider here. You know, been here coming up on a year in July, and so you know, being an outsider and being new, I got fresh eyes on things, and I see things differently than what some of you would see, because you know you've been here for a long time. You don't get to see those things. And the fruit of the Spirit in this church is so evident to me. You know, when I come here and I look at who this congregation is as one, and how you are as one unit. And I also then look individually at who you are individually and what comprises this one unit. I see fruit all over the place. It's just so evident here. And there's just such a, you know, you guys don't know this, but, you know, I was talking to somebody here that's outside of the church, and they said, oh boy, those people at Pleasant Chapel are the nicest people in all of Huntington County. You know, they said that. And I hear that over and over again. You know, when I go, it's just the people at Pleasant Chapel are, you know, they're just nice and they're good people. And I don't disagree with that at all. But I would phrase it differently. You know, I would phrase it that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is very evident in this church. Because I see it in the way you guys get along. You guys have dealt with some tough things. And you do it. Because your patience and your kindness and goodness is evident here. Now, are you perfect? No, you're not. I could list those things too. No, I'm not going to do that. But no, we're here about growing and we're here about changing. But, you know, I've been part of a lot of churches, and boy, about everywhere you go, there's, you know, kindness and goodness isn't always there because there's some history and there's some cliques and there's some biting and there's some... You know, I just have not sensed that here. And I pray every day that, you know, when about one of these days you're all going to do one of these things in the movies where you peel off that mask, you know, and behind there's these ugly things that's going to say, Joel, you're not going to play that song. No, you're not. Because, again, nice folks, well, okay, yeah, you're nice folks. But I view it this way. I'm acknowledging the source of that fruit. And the Holy Spirit is here and He's working through you. So we can praise God for that. It's awesome to be a part of that. It's awesome to be part of this church. Just don't let me screw it up. But these fruits that you have, first thing I wanted us to hear is it's not of us, it's of the Spirit. The second thing is it's not for us either. It's for others. The fruit of the Spirit is for others. And boy, the world needs the fruit. This world needs the fruit of the Spirit that would be evidenced in the lives of the Pleasant Chapel people that are here. You know, I've been thinking a lot about our culture, and the word that I keep thinking about is confusion in the world, in the world in general, in the worlds around you, the people that you are, that you maybe surround yourself with that are not of Christ yet. They're not followers of God yet. There's so many people that just have a confusion and a lostness about them. They're confused about how to relate with one another. They're confused on just general moral and ethical things. And they're confused about this selfish nature that they have. There's confusion about their sexuality and their biology and which bathroom I should use and what behaviors I should use. And you know, it wasn't many years ago, and I'm not making fun of anything here, but not many years ago, we called this community the gay and lesbian community, and then it became LGBT, and then it's LGBTQ, and now it's LGBTQIA. There's this confusion. They just keep adding these letters on here because we can't get identified with what it is we are, and there's confusion is the best word that I have for this. And, you know, to get a sense of this, I did the most academic thing I could to get a feel for the heartbeat of where we are in our culture. So the smartest thing I thought I could do was turn on Maury Povich and Dr. Phil. I thought I could really learn a lot about about the nature of our world here and this idea of confusion. You want to do that? No, do not turn on that stuff. It's horrible. But, you know, uncontrollable teenagers. I can't do anything with them. You know, are you the father of my baby? You know, I thought I was dating a woman and it turned out to not be a she, it was a he. And catfishing. Anybody heard of catfishing? I thought that was, don't look it up. It was, I thought that had to do with ugly fish I pulled out of the reservoir down here. It's gross, confusion, weird, crazy stuff. And why? Why is our culture in this? Well, I think I've probably quoted this three times this week to different people in conversations, and it's Romans 1. And Paul says it right here on the head. Why? Why this confusion? Well, here it is. For although they, who's they? Man, mankind, humankind. They knew God, they neither glorified Him nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. He goes on to say down in verse 24, therefore God gave them over in sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. And I can't not say that over and over again, that we just messed up, and so God gave them over to shameful lusts. Boy, if that doesn't fit in 2,000 years ago that Paul was battling with, it sure fits today. We're just given over to these shameful lusts. People are confused. My point here is that they need evidence of something else. They need bent back here by the fruit of the Spirit that's evidenced in our lives to show Christ and how He's manifested in your life and in mine. It is for others. It's for others to see. It's for others to receive. It's for those that are lost and confused that need to be found and enlightened in Christ's love. Fruit of this world, fruits for the world, for Christ to be manifested in our lives. You know, you're probably, we're a lot more alike here, and you know, Maury Povich and Dr. Phil and some of the things you see there is, you know, not Roanoke, it's not Huntington, it's not South Whitley. You know, this is different here. We're in a different culture here than what you see on those shows, but that's not to say that there's a lot of lostness and confusion in our communities. You just look at some of the local issues that we have here. And they are just in need of the fruit that they can see in our lives as anybody else in the world. So if you're one that believes that there is a sickness in this country, and if there's this massive confusion in the lives of many, and if you believe there's so many people that's losing their way, I got a suggestion here. I think there is one cure for that. And it's for the Spirit of God through His mercy and His love and His compassion to change us and to change this world. But that change has to start somewhere. And if you ask anyone who has gone through this change, where someone is far from God, yet they are brought near to God, they will tell you they saw fruit in somebody else's lives. That is the start of this working, God's grace, and they need to see that from us. And I think that is the challenge and our mission that we here have as individuals and as Pleasant Chapel as a unit, that we be people that bear His fruit. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your presence, Your literal presence right here with us individually, and with us here corporately. We thank You for Your prodding and Your nudging. We thank You for the pushing us out of our comfort zone to become the person that You want us to become the church You want us to be. We just ask that You would strengthen us and provide us opportunities where we can go, and we can go out into this mission field and bear fruit that would attract others to You. Amen.